So first of all, of course, it is a great pleasure and honor for me to be here because of this place and because of it is in honor of Peter Orlik. And I thank the organizers for asking me giving me this possibility, even with short notice. So I should apologize to the whole audience because I am not Professor Varchenko. And so, although the talk will not absolutely not be nearly as probably interesting and surely deep or elaborated as would have been Professor Varchenko talk, but I try my best. So I was thinking, what could I say today, and so. And since Professor Salvetti yesterday morning already spoke about this construction of minimal LTW complexes for complexified arrangements, and he went further and elaborated on this on some more about these complexes and boundary maps and so on. And I thought I could just speak about two aspects that came up just after the first paper of Salvetti and Settapanella appeared. I happened to be in Pisa for 1 year, and so we had some, we were discussing some combinatorial issues of this construction, and so I should therefore give credit for almost everything which I will say, also to Professor Salvetti, because it was either inspired or motivated or by his questions and so on. So we already heard some of this and the definition, but I would like to just recall the basics. So I'm sorry for defining what script A is, and so we will be concerned about these three possets, the possets of faces of a real arrangement. Okay, so those are the open polyhedral strata of the stratification of the real space ordered by reverse inclusion. And script C is, for the moment it is only a set. That's good. I will use something on the blackboard, but it's good. Thanks. This is just a set for the moment, the chambers of the arrangement, so they connect the components of the complement in a real space. And the script L is a poset that is indeed a lattice, and that's the lattice of flats, so intersections of hyperplanes ordered by reverse inclusion. And as probably it is clear now in this conference, we are concerned about the complement of a complex arrangement. And out of a real arrangement, I take the complexification of this arrangement, so the same defining forms over the complex numbers, and I look, or we look at this complement, and what can we say? Before to describe this minimal complex, I would like to say a word about some bigger complex that is our starting point, and that's known as the Salvetti complex. So this is still some review of yesterday. So given a complexified arrangement, or actually a real arrangement, we define a graph, an oriented graph, so that I put one vertex in every chamber of the arrangement, and they join every pair of vertices representing adjacent chambers with a pair of opposite oriented edges, like this. So that's the green graph, okay? One vertex for every chamber and a pair of opposite-oriented edges between every two vertices that represent adjacent chambers. This green graph is the one skeleton of the Salvetti complex, and so that's the one skeleton. And then the higher cells, well, how many are there? They are indexed by a pair, a face and a chamber, a face and a chamber adjacent to this face. So F is in the boundary of C topologically. And this is a K cell when the codimension of F is K. So for example, we have we don't see here, but inside here we have the point of intersection of those three lines. This is a codimension 2 phase. This will correspond to some set of two-dimensional cells, like this red one, and I have to explain how they are glued. So the gluing instruction comes, it is enough to specify how the one skeleton is attached, and then recursively you can define all the complex. So given a K cell, the one skeleton of this K cell is glued so that this one skeleton consists of all oriented paths that start at this chamber and go to the so-called to the other side of the phase S and never cross twice the same hyperplane. So in this case, the red phase, the red cell here, is the one skeleton consists of this oriented path and this oriented path. I think I'm having some trouble with this. So this oriented path and this directed path, this is the boundary of this red two cell. And for our higher cells, you just go recursively like this. Okay, and the theorem is that the complex you obtain this way is a retract of the complement of a complexified arrangement. Now, for later reference, let me say, I would like to think about this regular CW complex in terms of its poset of sets. So, I would like to consider the poset of sets of this one. And, you know, let me write it like this. Okay? This does not give any information about the structure, but this is a big poset in general. And on the top, I have the biggest cells, like here, maybe in this case I have this point in the middle, P, and then for every chamber I have a cell. And here at the bottom I have the vertices. Okay? So vertices correspond to chambers. So this would be a vertex. Okay? And I consider this big poset. If my arrangement is central, like it is here, you understand that there is only one minimal phase, okay? So there is only one combinatorial type of maximal cells in the Selvetti complex. So the maximal cells, like here the red one, you might say it's like an hexagon glued in, and all the maximal cells are hexagons. Just you have to watch out how they are glued in. So for example here, if I look below some maximal cell, let's say this one, I have some lower interval, okay, like this. Of course, it touches all the vertices, okay? And this lower interval is the same for every maximal cell I take. So here I have another one, maybe with another color, okay? But the structure of the white lower interval, okay, and the structure of the green lower interval is the same, because all the maximal cells are combinatorially equivalent. So it is the same, and it is actually isomorphic to some poset we encountered, because this lower interval is actually the phase poset of the arrangement. Okay, so you might also say the maximal cells, you take the zonotope of the arrangement and then you glue it in according to the instruction, okay, given by the one skeleton. And we have many copies of them, you know, united in a particular way. Okay, let's keep this in mind. Now, what Professor Salvetti yesterday described is a method, okay, to describe some discrete Morph function on this regular CW complex. Let me say also a word about recalling what a discrete Morph function is on when I have got a CW complex given by its poset of cells. So basically, this is an instruction on how to collapse cells. Okay? Right, so here is a very easy example. So I have this blue rectangle with the boundary. This is my CW complex, and that is positive faces of cells. So if I start collapsing collapsing the blue big face, so like this, I can go on and on. At some point I have collapsed everything, so the upper edge ended here. And what if disappeared? Well, the big blue cell disappeared and the upper horizontal edge disappeared. So I deleted this and this. And so the bookkeeping of this is that I color red this edge in the asset diagram, okay? So I don't think I have to make a big story about this. So you can understand how this goes, and it goes on. And in the end, when I collapsed everything because my complex was contractible, I have a bunch of red edges in the asset diagram here, and it's easy to see that this must be a matching of this asset diagram as a graph. And one could say, well, when I have a complicated complex like here, I even don't know how this is. So in general, here I don't know what structure it has. So may I just go in the posit and look for a matching and say, well, then I collapse along this matching? Well, there is one more condition. Not any such matching encodes a true collapsing sequence, but only the matchings that avoid, that do not have such so-called cycles, okay? So up with the matching and down, up with the matching and down without matching and so on. If there is something like this in my posit, then it's not good. But if I can do such a thing that does not contain any of these cycles, then my matching will encode an honest collapsing sequence. Okay. Now that we know what we talk about, I will do the last part of the review and say again, and so repeat what Professor Salvetti told yesterday, how can you define such a matching on the Salvetti complex so that because of course when I collapse the red things, I am left with the unmatched things. So in this case, I am left only with this cell, and that so-called critical cell, that's what is left after the collapsing. So I would like to define here an acyclic matching with as few critical cells as possible. Okay, and so this would give me a collapsing sequence that takes me to a minimal complex. So, and as Professor Salvetti explained yesterday, one way to do this is take your real arrangement, black one, okay, and take some flag with some strong genericity condition. I don't want to go again in the detail. Here the flag is the green one, so the point, the line, and the two-dimensional part. Okay, and what you do, you move the d minus one actually space inside the d dimensional space, and you keep track of the points that you encounter. Okay, and okay, you do it like this, and then this gives you an ordering of the points of, in this case, V2 intersection of the arrangement, which is everything, and then you go inside the next lower part of the flag, so this line, you have an arrangement on this line, and it is very easy, just point, and then you do the same, you move the point along this line, and you keep track of what you encounter when, and that gives you an ordering of these faces, and recursively, this ordering of the points of these arrangements, so VK intersection the arrangement, this is a family of arrangement, and you order the points of those like this. And the theorem is that you can algorithmically, once this ordering is given, algorithmically you can construct a discrete Morse vector field on the Salvetti complex, which is equivalent, as we saw, to an acyclic matching here. So I want to stress that once this ordering is given, then it is really an algorithm. You could basically implement it. I guess I'm not very good in computer science, but you really, you know, what can be tricky for, you know, higher dimensional or in general complicated arrangement is to actually find out this ordering. Okay? And so the first question is, we would like to have, you know, a combinatorial description of this ordering, which for the moment is given by some particular choice of a particular flag. So as Professor Sovetti explained yesterday, you know, you can prove that for some chambers of the arrangement, inside the chamber there is an open cone in which you can put the point, and then you have to take care, and there is an open cone of angles in which you can put the line, and it's a very subtle story to ensure that the green line is always transverse to the arrangement. So, how is it possible to model this in the known combinatorial structure? So, usually when I think of a real arrangement, I think of an oriented matroid. Okay, sorry, but it's not like this. But I don't know any tool, you know, in oriented matroids that can rotate a thing. I know tools that allow me, once I start like this, to do a so-called sweeping. Okay? Now, this is the point. So maybe here, in these 3 minutes, you should maybe pay some attention. So I have my black arrangement. That's my oriented matroid. Okay? And I do an oriented matroid extension. I add this line. Okay? And then what can I do? Then there are some of the points of these oriented matroids are near to this line in a way that can be made very precise. So this point is near because all the lines that go out, so basically because this is an apex of a cone over this piece, and there are no other points of the oriented matroid inside here. Okay, you can put it in a very technical way, but that's basically like this. The sweeping consists of flippings. So this is a flip, for example. Okay, I want to think, because I am in oriented matroids, this is no more now an hyperplane, this is a pseudo hyperplane, so I can bend it a bit. Okay, and if I bend it over here, then I do a flip. Okay, good. This is a standard thing. So the black plus the green thing is so-called an oriented matroid program. Okay, that's a thing you use in optimization and so on. And you can go on and flip by flip, go until you are on the other side. So until you got through all the points of the arrangement. Okay, that's the sweeping of the green line until the other place. And the point is that if you take an ordering of these points obtained like this, this is a special thing. Okay, of course you can understand what I will write here below, that this we call a combinatorial polar ordering because it generalizes the sweeping, the particular sweeping that consists in rotating the line, and this is as good as the old one to construct minimal complexes. Okay, so you can take this combinatorial polar ordering, and you obtain a discrete with the same algorithm as before. You obtain a discrete Morse function, the Salvetti complex, that actually does only depend on the combinatorial type of the oriented matroid program. So there is no more this strong genericity requirement. You can just go with any extension of your oriented matroid and do this sweeping. Of course, you have to do it recursively. I mean, then you have to consider in this green line a point here. So I have a pointer, maybe a point here, and let it sweep here. Okay, and this point you will find it here again, and then you have to sweep it here to order those two faces. And the point here, you have to sweep it like this to order those two faces, and so on. Okay. I mean, it seems sensible, and you don't. One asks, why should it not go? Well, You might know that what we are doing here, so this sequence of flippings is actually a walk in the extension space of the oriented matroid. And this is a very, you know, tricky animal to deal with. So in particular, this need not to exist. So it's not true that for every oriented matroid program, you can sweep the ether plane through the other side. That's not true. Only there are examples in which this is not true by Richter Geber, I guess. And study of this thing was, I think, the state of the art is some paper by Sturmfest and Ziegler. But actually, there is a class of oriented matroid programs that actually allow such things, so-called Euclidean oriented matroid programs. And one has to make sure that all the oriented matroid programs that you obtain like this, intersecting some such pseudo-hyperplane with the arrangement, that those are, every body of those is Euclidean. Okay, so that works. Good. And to say a quick word about another thing that was mentioned yesterday, while one could, there is another thing. Once you start with your line, let me do a picture here. So, and here is my line. Okay, let me just do quickly an example. So once you have your line, you have an ordering of all hyperplanes, actually. This is not a good choice, but let me pretend it is. Okay. You have an ordering, this hyperplane number 1, number 2, number 3, you know, along this line, number 4 and number 5. And, well, what happens if I rotate this line? Well, if I rotate this line, actually, here a very interesting thing happens. I take first this point, and then I will take this point as a second, and then I will take this point as a third. Okay? So, in some sense, I exploit all the points on the first hyperplane, and then I will go on, take this one, so all the points on the second hyperplane will be gone, and then continue, and then I will take the points on the third hyperplane. So that seems a very funny thing. We could define it just like this. Okay? So, the intersection with the line orders the lines of the arrangement that is, you know, A intersected with V2. So, like, this is V1. This is V2. Okay? So, and I can just go on and say, well, then let's order the points like this. 1, 2, 3, and then I go on the second line and I see, well, this is already taken, then I take this. I go on the third line, this is already taken, then this, so this and this. Okay? So that's an ordering of the points, right? In this case, it is very good. It is a combinatorial polar order, and you can go on and use it for your minimal complex. Once you order these points, of course, these points might be intersection of lines of a three-dimensional arrangement with this. So these points actually gives an ordering of the lines of a three-dimensional arrangement, and you can play in some way the same game and order the points, first the one on the first line, and then the one on the second line. Okay, so this is a wild guess, right? This is a wild guess. Because it works in this example, I say, well, let me just formally define this order. So that's what we're writing here. Points on earlier lines come first, among points on the same line, those nearest to the original here come first. You can do it. And this is a so-called follow-up ordering. We tried to remember yesterday why we called it like this. We just called it like this. Okay? So the point, this needs not be a combinatorial polar ordering at all. So, but for some arrangements, you can put your flag in such a way that the corresponding follow-up ordering, so just read off from the arrangement in a very easy way, is actually a combinatorial quarter ordering. Okay? And the interest of this is that, without going into details, this allows for a particularly handy computation of the complex. Okay? If you go and look at, if you remember the definition yesterday morning, you will see that something, you know, this fact that the points are ordered along the actual lines, this is a big T. Okay, so that's what Professor Salvetti was talking about yesterday. And, well, once one has this, some kind of characterization, one asks what is, you know, how does it behave compared to known arrangement classes. So for two-dimensional follow-up arrangement, you have some combinatorial condition that can tell you immediately what's good and what's bad. And so for every super-solvable arrangement, you can actually find such a flag that gives you a follow-up ordering, but not for every Coxeter arrangement. Okay. Now, it is not clear how and why this arrangement should be interesting outside from this easy computation of the complex, but maybe, who knows? Okay, so that's some first observation we did. And, okay, so this was kind of the first part of the talk about the combinatorics of this polar order. So the upshot here, the bottom line is, you can do everything algorithmically, because there are algorithms for flipping hyperplanes through oriented matroids, okay? So, in this way, you can just say, okay, let's put any flag, let's flip it through the, sweep it through the arrangement, it gives me an ordering which is as good as the polar orderings, and you can use this to construct your minimal complex for any arrangement in any complexity. And in particular, there are some nice arrangements for which the complex is easy to construct, and it seems that maybe also the boundary map of the complex gets simplified, but that's not yet available, okay? And it's not yet true in some sense. Okay. So now let me go to the second part of the talk, second quick part of the talk. You know, philosophically, I have to take my arrangement and then do this extension. So, first of all, I don't feel very comfortable about extension. I mean, for the reasons I told you before, I always try to keep my finger off, like, extension spaces of oriented matroids and so on, because you never know what is going on. And so the philosophical question is, can you do it in an intrinsical way? Okay, so just give me the arrangement, okay, without additions of new other planes and so on. Well, you can do it. Okay, so that was the second question that I'm going to quickly explain how to do. Now let's get back to our, for this part, let A be a central arrangement. Central arrangement allows me, so the point is that I know that my Salvetti complex is a union of lower intervals like this, and everybody has the same structure. Okay? Good. And, you know, every one of those guys here is the poset of cells of one of these pink, sheets. Thanks, whoever. So, actually, what this is all these sheets glued along the arrows. Okay? And there is one sheet for every chamber. So, for example, for this chamber, we have this sheet, and the boundary goes like I explained before, okay, and so on. So, my question is now, understand how this sheet intersect, okay? Just give me 2 minutes before you ask why I am doing that, okay? So, given any chamber C, I want to call S sub C. This is my S sub C, okay? This lower interval here. That's the poset of cells the process of sales of this, of each one of these sheets. And I, like I explained there, I want to consider the Salvetti complex a union of that, the, these sheets. And I ask, if I take two of them, I would like, of course, you can, here you can see it just by looking at that. But I would like an explicit description of the intersection. Let me just define, I will need the concept of the separating set of two chambers, that's the set of hyperplanes that separate two chambers, and the support of a face is the set of hyperplanes that contains this face. Okay? So now, let's take two sheets. Okay? Now, that's, the red one is here and the red, the other red one is there. So you see the intersection is, consists of these two pieces, so it's a disconnected space, this blue piece and this blue piece get glued, and then these two points, there is one behind here and the two points. So actually, you can, the faces that are shared, okay, the vertices are always shared. So let's look at these two blue edges, and these blue edges are correspond to the faces of this hyperplane that goes like this, and that's the one hyperplane that does not separate the two red chambers. Okay, so the intersection here corresponds to all faces that which support does not separate the two chambers. This is related to a known thing, so by containment of this separating set, I can define the well-known positive regions of the arrangement. So with a basis region B. And that's good, okay? Now you can ask why I'm doing this. So I am doing this because I would like to build, I would like to build my complex by successively taking this one and then glue this one and then glue this one and then glue this one and see how the topology changes. Okay, so I need to take a linear extension of this positive chamber, okay? And I would like to consider the following thing. I go through a linear extension of this, I add maximal cells, so this chamber and then this chamber and this. And what happens when I add a new one? Okay, so now maybe here I have the new one, the green one is my P, C, okay? And I want to know what is the new piece that I am adding. So the new piece that I am adding is like this. This one without all the guys that are before him. Okay? You can write it down. Okay? This corresponds to certain faces. And if you look at the support of these faces, the support of these faces, give you some flats in the intersection lattice, and the point is this is an upper interval in the intersection lattice. That's what you really need to prove, a couple of pages for this. And this implies that actually what I am adding at every step, and this is maybe the second time that you should pay attention for 30 seconds, is that the green guy here, there is some flat, okay, such that the green piece is isomorphic to the positive faces of the arrangement contracted to XC. Okay, and here is the definition. A sub C is just the arrangement determined in X by the other hyperplane. Okay, So now I can go on, and if I take my chambers along the linear extension of my positive of chamber, every time I add something else, this is some face posit of some other arrangement. Okay? Okay? And so I can generate the whole Salvetti complex. That's the stratification I was telling about. And the neat thing about that is that the posets of the form F of A are special. Those are positive sets of polytopes. Those are shellable. Okay? And then you need this theorem that if you have a shelling of a regular CW complex, then you can construct actually an acyclic matching with where the critical cells are exactly the homology shells, homology cells of the shelling. Okay, that improves some other things, but you can do it really optimal in an optimal way. So I have an acyclic matching of each of these guys. I can just paste them together, okay, checking some conditions, the so-called patchwork lemma for acyclic matchings, and I get an acyclic matching of the whole thing, okay, with exactly one critical cell. So here I will have one critical cell here, then I will have only one critical cell here in the green one, and one critical cell in the yellow one. And just by how many they are, you know that's going to be a minimal thing, because you have one critical cell for every chamber. And you know chambers, there are as many chambers as no broken circuit set, and as many no broken circuit sets as generator of the homology. So no broken circuit set, quickly, a circuit of the arrangement is a minimally dependent subset, and a set and a circuit without its minimal element is a broken circuit, and then a no broken circuit set, as you probably know, is an independent set that does not contain any broken circuit. The NBC sub I is the family of I element no broken circuit set, and then this is just, you know, every no broken circuit set of any cardinality. And the theorem is that this set, NBC sub I, indexes a basis of the I-th homology, okay, of the Orlik Solomon algebra, and enumeratively there are as many chambers as there are no broken circuits in general, and that's what I just said, okay? So the complex minimal. But that's just, you know, a cheap reason why it's minimal. I would like to give another kind of understanding what's going on in the last 5 minutes, so I can cite another time Professor Orlik. So this enumerative result can be realized also by a bijection that you can really construct. So give me an arrangement, or give them an arrangement and a basis chamber and an ordering of the hyperplanes, and then there is, you can really tell for every chamber there is a corresponding no broken circuit set. Okay, bijection. Relies upon an arbitrary ordering. I would like to take some special ordering of the hyperplanes, an ordering satisfying the cut property. So, just take a maximal chain in the positive chambers, and the order in which it traverses the hyperplane, I call it a cut. An ordering with a cut property. Okay, you can forget about that. And if you order the hyperplanes like this, and you express every chamber as a sine vector, okay, plus, plus, minus, minus, you say plus is 1 and minus is 0, and then you have a lexicographic ordering, so to speak, of the chambers, okay? And this is actually a linear extension of these positive cells. And when you do this construction, you see that the following is true. So what are these mysterious X sub C, okay? So take C, take the corresponding no broken circuit set, take the intersection, that's a flat, and that's actually X sub C, okay? Amazing, okay? So take my chamber, the corresponding no broken circuit set, and intersect its elements. That's a flat, that's what I want. In particular, the dimension of this guy is the cardinality of this no broken circuit set. So, that's a technical thing, but because of how it is constructed, the dimension of this critical cell is exactly the dimension of XC, okay? And so there is a nice thing that, you know, for every finite real arrangement of linear hyperplanes, choose a base chamber and an ordering satisfying this technical property. Then you have and a cyclic matching there, so that that is minimal, and the critical cells are you can express like this. Remember, cells are pairs, and you only just have to know the chamber. Okay, if you know the chamber, you put C here, you do the business with the no broken circuit here, and those are your critical cells. So this is a nice, so how can I say, every time you glue a new cell, you only add one you add exactly one homology generator indexed by the corresponding no broken circuit set. Okay, I have 1.5 minutes to say that this also leads to some question. Actually, one question I would like to ask that I think is that, so everything relies on some ordering of the chambers. So you know, you have to know in which order to put these things. Okay, ordering of the chambers. So the question is, can you, so on the other hand, every chamber corresponds to a no broken circuit set. So can you, so this ordering of the chambers that relies on the real structure of the arrangement, can you express it only in terms of the no broken circuit? Okay, so if I give you the no broken circuit set, can you order them so that the corresponding ordering of the chambers is good in this way? That would be not a bad thing, okay. And and one other encouraging thing in having those no broken circuits here is that this could give a handle to for the next thing that one should do, namely do some construction of minimal complex for complex arrangements, okay. And one way to do would be to take the Birner-Ziegler model, okay, and try to do some discrete Morse theory on that. And they have already some description of some, some pairing of generators of homology and the broken circuits in some conceptual way. So you already know, actually, now, philosophically, you know what you have to leave behind, you know, to have an analog of this. Then you have to find out how to get rid of everything else. And so a third thing that motivates me about this is this long history that I was thinking about for a bit of time about Garside groups and this Bessie's work about complex arrangements. So Bessie's use, I don't know, maybe you know, Bessie's uses this Garside category stuff, and in the language of Bessie's, the thing is that Dehlin proves that the arrangement groupoid is a Garside groupoid. Okay. Now, with this minimal complex, is it possible that in some stage along the collapsing, you get some CW complex that gives you, you know, the one skeleton gives you a groupoid different of the other one, but that can be related to the dual Garside structure for which, you know, it's equivalent to prove that some groupoid that mimics the dual Garside structure, that this is a Garside groupoid. So if we could, you know, maybe this gives some insight in the geometry of these dual Garside things. And the importance of no broken circuit set is that there is some paper by Barcelo and Goupil, I guess, that already relates reflection ordering of real reflection groups with no broken circuits in some, also there is only a bijection, but maybe one could get some hint from there. So that's it about everything I wanted to say. Just if you want to, this was quite fast, I believe, and maybe not so precise. If you want to really go and read the things, so that's the original paper by Salvetti about the Salvetti complex. If you want to know more about this discrete Morse theory and what was the patchworking lemma and when you can do more with this business, of course you can go to the original work of Forman. There is some paper by Chari, but maybe the first reading would be maybe this, a chapter in this book of Kozlov, Notorious Algebraic Topology, where you have some, complete exposition of the subject, and you can go to the bibliography and read everything else. Then this was cited yesterday, the polar ordering and the associated minimal complex. That's about the combinatorial polar ordering and the follow-up history. So about oriented matroids and flippings and extensions and sweepings, well, that's the reference. And about this stratification and the no broken circuits, that's the paper it's written. I guess I am 41 seconds late. I'm sorry about that. Thanks. No, because it's not easy. So I forgot to say one thing. Thanks. So the question would be, this probably has something to do with the other, with the polar ordering, with the discrete function coming from the polar ordering for which you have a boundary operator. Okay. So at that point, for purely computational reasons, when you have the combinatorial polar ordering and the boundary operator of the other complex, that's why I did not put much effort in trying to work out. In principle, you can do that. In principle, you can just go there and follow all the alternating paths. You know, that's the standard way you do it in discrete Morse theory. Take the two critical sets. One, you follow all the alternating paths from there to there, and you can write it down, but I have no nice formula for that.
Una cosa che mi sa che tu hai citato, quindi era uno che insomma era un, lui fa questo,
sì.
Prende un sistema di radici,
okay.
E prende le radici positive,
okay.
E le ordina arbitrariamente,
mm-hmm.
Quindi le pensare come equazioni di un degli ipertiani,
sì. Ecco. Sì.
Se prendi il no broken set e associa ad ogni no broken set un elemento del gruppo di Weyl, prendendo il prodotto delle riflessioni. Supponi che
sì, alfa e uno nell'ordine.
Esatto. E questo, ecco, lui dimostra che questa è un'abiezione.
Sì, questo l'ha fatto la Pastello nel 89.
Ah, è pure l'altro, quindi lo devo dire io.
È citato anche nella mia, tesi di dottorato, questi
dicono che per un gruppo finito reale di riflessioni penso che l'ordine sia qualunque, non mi ricordo se le prendevano un ordine qualunque cosa, però ordinando le radici positive effettivamente c'era questa obiezione tra il prodotto nell'ordine nel quale sono qua.
Esatto.
E in più dicono che la lunghezza di la reflection length di questa roba qua è uguale alla cardinalità di quello che c'è qua. E questo, quindi non è la lunghezza, la reflection length, quella.
Ma quindi la stessa cosa che ha fatto questo studente, insomma, questo ci ha messo due giorni a
fare. Sì, non è che.
Oh, perché hanno
il teorico dei numeri ha dimostrato una cosa
che si chiama Vasculcer.